What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Talking a Bunch of Hoopla. Now, before we get into it, just to let you all know, this episode is going to be NFL football-based. So if you're looking for another one, which will come out tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening to this, that'll be all about the NBA, free agency, my thoughts on the draft, and so on. That'll come out probably around like 8:30, 9 o'clock tomorrow night, so if you want to listen to that, listen. If you want to listen to this, that'd be great. But let's get right into it. So, as I'm sure you may saw the news earlier that the Baltimore Ravens-Steelers game got postponed to Sunday due to the fact that a bunch of Ravens players and staff members tested positive. And, you know, it sucks. As a Ravens fan, I'm like, all right, they have a few players test positive, no big deal, cool. But as the days have gone on, more and more players and staff have tested positive. And they've shut down their facilities until Monday. So it doesn't seem like they're going to be playing the Steelers on Sunday. And I know Steelers fans are upset because it happened to them earlier and people were giving them shit. And now it's our turn and all that. But hey, I accept the shit talking. I get it. I mean, it's bullshit. I mean, obviously, I'm upset as well seeing the Ravens test positive. Have all these players, you know, obviously not doing what they're supposed to do, getting fucking COVID, and then spreading it throughout their entire facility, essentially. So, to the Baltimore Ravens organization, get it fucking together, please, please, please. And which sucks, because, I mean, again, like I said, I don't see them playing, especially Lamar Jackson's now also tested positive for COVID, which means they're going to play with essentially two quarterbacks, and that's Robert Griffin III, and rookie Tyler Huntley. So, I don't think the game's going to be played. It's probably going to be postponed another week or two, depending on what's going on with all their COVID tests and if players are recovering or, you know, maybe they're getting false positives or whatever, but I don't know. It's annoying. It's very frustrating, and fuck. I don't know what else to say. On to the NFL as a whole, though. The season's almost over. We are now in week 12. Definitely not has gone the way I expected. I mean, mainly, of course, due to all the injuries that we've seen over the year. You know, San Francisco got hit hard. Baltimore's been hit hard. Many other teams have been hit hard. The one team that I'm two teams that I'm shocked by this year are the Raiders and the Dolphins. The Dolphins, more shocking because I knew coming into the season that they picked up some solid free agent pickups defensively. And I knew they were going to be solid there. But offensively, I wasn't sure because I didn't know exactly what they were going to do with Tua. You know, in the beginning, it was Ryan Fitzpatrick starting. But then they decided, well, we're going to just bench him and start Tua. And then Tua got benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick. So it's a very confusing time. But seeing the Dolphins at 6-4 and the Patriots at 4-6 is very shocking. Not that I thought the Patriots would be any good, but here we are. The Jets are, of course, winless at 0-10. Adam Gase should be fired. At this point, the Adam Gase experiment, the Adam Gase era, whatever you want to call it, has failed, which isn't, again, surprising because the only time he's had a good, time in the NFL is when he was coaching Peyton Manning, and I'm pretty sure anyone listening to this could coach Peyton Manning to a playoff win or even a Super Bowl berth. I don't think it would be that hard to coach Peyton Manning to be good. Obviously, he didn't do that good in Miami. And obviously, some people before the signing were like, oh, he'd be great in New York, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, they're 0-10. Obviously, they've lost some pieces as well. They've been injured as well. But that's still no excuse to go 0-10. Adam Gase needs to be fired now. Like, just don't wait till the offseason. They're obviously going to get the number one pick. And they're obviously going to get Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson. Which, if they don't, for whatever reason, they're fucking stupid. Not that Sam Darnold's a bad quarterback or anything. I think he's all right. I definitely didn't think, especially with that draft, that he would have landed the Jets. I was kind of under the assumption that when that draft happened, that the Browns would have took Sam Darnold at one, and then most likely the Jets would have took Baker Mayfield at, I believe it was like 3 or 4 they were at. I don't remember exactly the top of my head, but obviously that didn't happen. Baker went 1. Sam Darnold went to the Jets. Here we are. I definitely think, obviously, on the Browns, Sam Darnold would have been way more successful than Baker Mayfield is right now. But also the Browns are playing fairly well. They're 7-3, 5-1 at home, 2-2 away, which is very surprising that they're 7-3. But I'm still not 100% on them because it's the Browns. So as someone who's been watching the Browns play for a while, because again, as a Ravens fan, who I say every fucking week, excuse me, that, you know, there's times where they may show flashes of goodness, but as a team overall, we know they're not it consistently. So I'm not going to hop on the hype train yet. Not that I will leave Baltimore, but I'm saying I don't believe in Cleveland until they can prove consistently that they can stick to being a positive winning team. Steelers are undefeated. I'm sorry to any Steelers fans that I know, but you guys aren't as good as you are. I'm just going to be honest. You're playing shit teams. Your schedule sucks. You've faced some of the easiest team in the fucking league. Like, for example, they've played the Giants, Broncos, and Texans as their first three games. None of those teams are any good. But the Eagles didn't do anything there. They fucking shit on the Browns. They beat the Titans. All right, you know, Titans are a decent team. Beat the Ravens. They're not playing well this year, and now they're not playing at all because they have COVID. Destroy the Cowboys. Well, sorry, they barely beat the Cowboys. They almost lost to fucking Garrett Gilbert, but they barely beat them. Destroy the Bengals. Shocker. Beat the Jaguars. What a shock. And, of course, now they're playing the Ravens this week. Or most likely not. Then they have Washington, which they'll most likely win. Bills will be close, but I think the Steelers will probably take that. They play the Bengals, which they'll win. Colts is, again, a tough matchup, but I think the Bills or the Colts is where they may get their first loss, but that's just how I see it. And then they play the Browns again, which they'll beat as well. So I know I'm also biased because, one, I'm a Ravens fan and yada, yada. I've said it 1,000 times, but I'm not convinced that this team is a Super Bowl caliber team, whether or not they're undefeated. Like the Chiefs, 9-1, I'm convinced that they're a Super Bowl winning team because, one, they've done it. And they have Patrick Mahomes. Their team is stacked. Not that the Steelers aren't stacked. They haven't done enough to me to prove that they're like this team that's up for a Super Bowl. Obviously, if they make it and they win, good on them. Congrats to them. But we'll see how they do in the playoffs. But again, like I said, I'm not convinced. Excuse me. The Colts and the Titans, I'm a little surprised by that. I mean, I know the Colts have a really good defense, but offensively, they're kind of in a weird position because Phillip Rivers isn't doing that great. T.Y. Hilton isn't playing as what we thought he would. It seems like their younger wide receivers in Zach Pascal and Michael Pittman Jr. and obviously Nyheim Hines are probably the guys who they're looking forward to the most to progressing. And they're doing really well. Jonathan Taylor, their rookie out of Wisconsin, who I thought was going to be, you know, the big star running back for them, so far isn't living up to the hype, and it sucks, but it's his rookie year. I know everyone's like kind of fucking giving up on the kid already, but it's his first year. They've played 10 games. Let's relax. Not everyone coming out of college, especially as a running back, is going to be consistent and well. That transition into the NFL is always tough for a lot of people, and I think he'll do well enough because, again, he's had 4 good years at Wisconsin. He was a Heisman hopeful for a while. He's gotten close, but never close enough. But I still think he has the talent to be what we all thought he is, or what he was projected to be, essentially. So, obviously, the Titans, Derrick Henry is their god, is their legend. He's keeping them alive. I know for a fact, if without him, they would not be in this position that they are. So, there's that. I mean, obviously, offensively, they're okay. Besides Derrick Henry, Tannehill's been okay. Wide receiver-wise, they've been kind of eh. I mean, their tight end, Jonnu Smith, hasn't really done much for them in the passing game. And the Texans and Jaguars aren't good. Obviously, Bill O'Brien fucking destroyed the Texans and got fired. So Romeo Crennel's trying to piece together what he can with the team. Jaguars are not good at all. I mean, we're not shocked by that. Obviously, the NFC East is a shit show. I mean, they all have a negative record. The Redskins, excuse me, I'm so sorry. The Washington football team is in the lead at 4-7. And the fact that one of these teams will make the playoffs is truly, truly in fucking insane. Now, obviously, it's not a brand new fucking concept that a bad team with a negative record makes the playoffs, but you don't really ever see an entire division be this bad. usually it's like maybe two teams, maybe three, and one's good. But the fact that all four are struggling is really interesting. I definitely think out of all those four teams, I think will make the playoffs is definitely probably Washington. They have a solid defense. Their running game's coming together with McKissick and Gibson, who balled out today, had like three touchdowns. The quarterback situation is interesting because Alex Smith is now starting because Kyle Allen was, but then he got hurt, so Alex Smith's taking the reins. They obviously have given up on Dwayne Haskins, which I still think is kind of an interesting situation, mainly because in what I've seen from a lot of people say that he's kind of the prototypical quarterback where he's not very mobile. He's just a standard pocket passer. And now with how the NFL is, you need some mobility to survive, which to an extent I believe is true, but he's not on a team that's really set up for much success regardless of who's a starting quarterback. Their running game lately has been keeping them alive in a lot of games, and obviously having Terry McLaurin on your team definitely is great because he's a number one receiver for them, and I think he'll be very good for years to come. Hopefully they give him better chances to be successful on the team. Because if not, I wouldn't be surprised if he dips when he gets a chance to hit free agency. But I don't think they should give him Dwayne Haskins yet. But again, he's only won his second year. So I know people think he's a bust already and he's this and that. But it's like, it's still early in the process. Let's wait it out. Let's see how it goes for him. I'm not giving up on him just yet. So there's still a lot I want to see from him. But for now, it's on pause. But I don't know if they're going to trade him after this season or what are they going to do. But I hope for the best. Same thing like him and Josh Rosen. You know, they're put in situations where they're not going to win at all. Like, there's no really coming out of that situation the same as you were when you entered. Josh Rosen, I don't think, is a bad quarterback. He's just been on bad teams. Like, the Dolphins last year were not a good team whatsoever. And the Cardinals before that were, again, not a good team whatsoever. Yet people will blame Josh Rosen. He's a bad quarterback. Guy just hasn't had a good chance to perform. You know, if you're on a bad team that's bad pretty much on both sides, no one's going to come out of that looking good, no matter who you are. So, of course, he's going to look bad. And I believe last time I heard, he was on the Patriots practice squad, which I'm not sure if he's still on it, but I wish him the best. You know, I was excited for him coming out of college. So, hopefully, he gets another chance to start somewhere, at least compete for a backup or a starting position, but I know people, it seems like, have given up on him completely, which I think is too soon, but it is what it is with that. The NFC West, I think, is definitely the most interesting division right now because you have the Rams and Seahawks at 7-3 with the Rams leading the division. Cardinals at 6-4 and the 49ers at 4-6. 49ers season is most likely over. Their team is too hurt, and they've lost too many pieces, and they're just not playing up to what we thought they were a year ago. So, I mean, is Kyle Shanahan on the hot seat? No. It's just a rough year, and they've been hit with the injury bug, and they lost some of their top players, and it just hasn't worked out. They've lost so many running backs, so many wide receivers due to COVID. It's like, it's a whole fucking mess. But out of that division, who I think is going to win? Personally, I say the Rams. Especially how they handled the Seahawks last week. I think they're definitely coming into their own. I mean, they're on a two-game winning streak. You know, They lost to the Dolphins 3 weeks ago, but still, they've been playing well against the Seahawks and the Bucks. But they have the 49ers again next week. This Sunday, excuse me. Then it's the Cardinals, and then it's easy fucking games and the Patriots and Jets. And then they play the Seahawks and the Cardinals once again. So, I definitely think they have the pieces to win the division. I mean, I think they have a really underrated wide receiver core in Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, Tyler Higbee, and so on. Running game is interesting because they're kind of doing like the hot hand thing right now, it seems like, because obviously they have Cam Akers, Darnell Henderson, and Malcolm Brown. So it's kind of like I said, whoever has the hot hand that week is going to be the one that's going to take over. But I think Cam Akers and Darnell Henderson are probably going to be the ones sticking around for a while with them, especially Cam Akers. I liked him coming out of college. I was excited for him on the Rams. I thought he was going to do well, and he's done all right. But again, he's a rookie, and I think this rookie running back class and wide receiver class is one of the better ones we've seen recently. So I'm excited for the future of all these guys with this draft class. NFC North, the Packers got it. The Bears were 5-1, which was very surprising. But, of course, like anything else, they're just probably just, you know, the pretenders of the league this year. And they're not going to do well. And Nick Foles is hurt. And Mitchell Trubisky's going to come back. And it's just a shit show overall. And to Bears fans, I'm sorry. I know you guys have been bad for some time. Just, you just haven't figured it out. And it sucks. Because you guys are a decent organization. I think, like, in the overall NFL history, you guys have had tons of success. It's just the last, like, decade or two just hasn't really been your year. I mean, you did make the Super Bowl once against the Colts, but the fact that you had Rex Grossman as your starting quarterback is rough. So, I just don't know with that. Plus, your running game is kind of fucked because you have Tariq Cohen's out, David Montgomery's out, and the guys you have obviously are not it. And Matt Nagy, I don't think he's going to be there that much longer if they continue to do bad, which I think they will. Vikings and Lions, I don't think there's much to really talk about. Neither of them are good teams right now, and Justin Jefferson's probably going to be their star receiver for them for a while. They don't fuck that up. Now that Adam Thielen's on injured reserve, Justin Jefferson's going to ball the fuck out. Same thing with Dalvin Cook. If they don't fuck that up, keep him around, you know, and keep them healthy and going. So I know Dalvin Cook's had his injury issues recently the last couple of years, so that's just keeping them above water. But again, they're 4-6, so it's not like they're not fully out, but they're not looking great, trending toward playoff. Now, the NFC South is also interesting. The Saints at 8-2, Bucks at 7-4. Bucks just lost to the Rams this past week. When it comes to the Bucks, I think this is definitely a, whether Tom Brady makes a Super Bowl this year or even make the playoffs, which I think they will. But if even if they don't make the playoffs, and let's say, for example, they don't make it next year, I definitely think it's going to be a bust season for the Buccaneers. And I know that sounds stupid. You know, they make the playoffs, but they don't make the Super Bowl, so how is it a bad year? Well, because they were on paper set up for a Super Bowl. And it's pretty much, at least how I've always seen it, since he signed to go to the Bucs, it's either Super Bowl or bust. I don't really see a way where, even if they make the NFC Championship and lose, that it would be considered a win. Which, for any other quarterback, that's still considered a good season. Sure, they didn't make the Super Bowl, but still, you got it far enough, and you still had a great season overall to get to that point. But it's Tom Brady. He left to win. You know, he didn't have the pieces he has now in Tampa Bay with now Antonio Brown, Evans, Godwin, Gronk, Brady, Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette. Like, offensively, they're stacked. Defensively, their linebackers are really good. Like, Lavonte David, Devin White, they're solid on defense. And Antoine Winfield Jr., definitely, in my opinion, will win Defensive Rookie of the Year because he's been balling the fuck out, which I'm not really surprised because I liked him coming out of college. I definitely thought he was going to live up to the name of the Winfield name. Obviously, you should know his father, Antoine Winfield Sr. He played in the NFL for a while and was a really good D-back as well. So, I mean, and definitely, I feel like no matter what happens, you know, people are going to add to the debate of, you know, whether all the Patriots success, like a tongue twister for some reason, is mostly like whether it's kind of been more Belichick focused or Brady focused. And, you know, that's kind of been the big topic since Brady left. It's like, oh, whether you can, you know, kind of give the props to Brady, give the props to Belichick, or both. You know, I've been one to say one or the other for a while, but I think at the end of the day, now seeing how the Patriots have done, even though, yes, they do have players, like 10 players who opted out, and sure, they haven't been playing great this season, but I still think at the end of the day, it took both of them to work together to win those six. You know, because as we've seen, Belichick defensively is a solid coach. The defense is where he is the master of. He's figured out defense. He knows how to work them well. But obviously, offensively is where he struggles. Now, if you also know, before he was the head coach of the Patriots, he was a head coach of a few other teams and did not have a very positive record. He was the Jets head coach for like 5 minutes, but then he realized, what the fuck am I doing? I'm the Jets head coach, and left. Smart decision, but still. So, I mean, sure, you can sit there and make an argument for one or the other, why Brady was more prevalent for their success over Belichick or vice versa, but I still believe, as much as I hate the Patriots, even to this day, that it took both of them together, obviously, to win. Because it's a team sport, and you really can't say one person won over the other. So, I think with Belichick's defense and Tom Brady's offensive mind, that's a great combination together, so they can bounce off each other and make things work. Especially because if you have a defensive coach, that can help you understand defenses better and how you think, you know, what they're going to do. And then obviously you have someone like Tom Brady who's like, yo, this is what they may do, just so you know. So look out on that for your defensive scouting reports and so on. But that's just me. Saints are interesting because now Drew Brees is out for the next couple of weeks. Taysom Hill started last week. He was all right. He was solid. They're better than we all thought. I was kind of surprised they started him over Jameis. So I kind of thought they were going to try to pull like a Teddy Bridgewater part two, where I actually had the new signing quarterback start, play a few games, win a few games, you know, sit the rest of the season once Drew Brees comes back, and then go to a new team, sign a contract, and live happily ever after. But, of course, that is not happening because, for whatever reason, Jameis Winston is not a part of their offensive package. They have nothing for him to do on offense right now. Taysom Hill is their guy. I mean, obviously, they paid him like a big... They re-signed him, I think, like a year ago or this year. So, definitely makes sense that, you know, they want to put him in their starting position. But, I don't know. I'm curious to see how that goes. I mean, Michael Thomas is back, so that's obviously positive. But I definitely think it's going to be interesting to see how it goes for the next few weeks once we get these playoffs kind of figured out and situated. I definitely think this rookie class is going to be a lot better than we expect. It does suck seeing Joe Burrow tear his ACL and MCL, I believe. So I didn't think he was ever going to win the Rookie of the Year personally. I was giving it to Justin Herbert because he's been playing lights out this year. Even though his team record isn't living up to his play, he's still doing his damn best to get them to fucking win. It's just the defense and their offense can't really pull together. I mean, he's got Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler is coming back hopefully in the next like week or two, it seems like. So not 100% sure on how they're going to work him into the system again. I mean, obviously he's going to be there for years to come, especially the way he's been playing. So hopefully they can make some positive changes to get him in a winning position. Because the last thing you want to do is pull Philip Rivers again. You have a good quarterback, you have these pieces, but you can never get through to that next step. You know, you can make the playoffs, you can play well, win a division all you want, but getting to that point where you're even in an AFC championship is that hard. You don't want to go through that again for another 10 years. Because obviously Philip Rivers left, and now they're winning their division, and, you know, I don't think they're going to make a Super Bowl, but they may make a decent playoff run, in my opinion, but that's early to see. So hopefully they can figure that out. I know a lot of people are kind of being hard on these rookies this year, whether it's like a CeeDee Lamb or a Jerry Jeudy, or, you know, insert whatever, you know, running back rookie that you want to reference or whatever. But I think overall, the fact that this many rookies are playing up to the level that they are this early is super impressive. Because usually, at least in my experience, when rookies play, it's like, all right, you have a couple rookie quarterbacks. Usually it's like skills players, whether it's like a rookie wide receiver, running back that do well. Like one or two or three will like have like a breakout year, and it's like kind of set the stage for what we expect, and then maybe have a drop-off year in the next year or two, or kind of be consistent and then obviously be talking the conversation of top 20, top 15. But this year it's definitely been a lot interesting because Justin Jefferson, who went very late in the first round, I think he was like 24th or 25th to the Vikings, I'm not 100%, has been balling out this whole year. Definitely better than I expected. Because I know when this draft happened, I thought Jerry Jeudy was going to be that to what Justin Jefferson is now. I mean, Jefferson was my favorite coming out, but I thought just on paper, I thought the Broncos were going to have a really good year. You know, they have Cortland Sutton, KJ Hamler, Noah Font. Their offensive line was all right. Drew Locke was coming into his own, but that all went to shit. Very fast. Cortland Sutton tore his ACL, which was very upsetting for me because I had him on my fantasy team, so oopsie on my end on that. But and then his kind of rookie year has been kind of fucked because of that. And Drew Locke has been up to, you know, hasn't been playing up to what we thought he was, and he's also got injured a bit, and it's been a very rocky road for him. Jalen Reagor out of TCU for Philadelphia is kind of getting into his own now. He's kind of starting to kind of get more snaps and get bigger plays, so that's obviously good to see. Michael Pittman Jr., a wide receiver out of USC, definitely one of the ones I was looking forward to see. He was also injured for a bit. Hasn't really had the best year, but the last couple games he's been getting more and more plays, getting more and more snaps. So again, that's also good to see. Seeing someone like Antonio Gibson play, I guess, up to where he's at is very surprising. I knew he was going to be good coming out of Memphis, but I didn't think he'd be this good. I mean, not saying he's a rookie of the year or anything, but he's still playing up to a high standard. James Robinson is very surprising. Definitely did not see that happening. Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU, now with the Kansas City Chiefs, been playing really well. I'm trying to think of who else am I missing. Henry Ruggs has been kind of disappointing, but that's kind of the Raiders' fault. They haven't really given them too many chances, in my opinion, to be successful. Because Darren Waller is obviously their number one receiver on that team. Nelson Aguilar has been playing really well recently, so that's kind of been why. But also, Henry Ruggs is a deep threat. He's not really the greatest route runner either, so I feel like that kind of hinders his performance. So it's like he just kind of has a one thing going for him, which the Raiders picking him that early, I don't like. But again, we all know the Raiders by now. They love speed. If you run like a 4.3 or like a close to like a 4.4 or a 4.3 to 4.4 in that range, the Raiders are like, we don't care what the fuck you do. We're just going to draft you. We don't care. Just you. We want you on our team because you are so damn fast. They do it all the time, and it's so frustrating to see. But I thought he was going to do better, but sadly he's not. Brandon Ayuk has been playing really well when he's been off the COVID list. Who else? I have like a bunch of rookies on my fucking fantasy team. It's insane. Let me look. I feel like I know I'm missing a couple people. Let me see, because I know there's a couple people I want to name, but I'm just not. Give me 1 second. I am so sorry. Shit, let me see. T. Higgins has been really playing well. Definitely better than I expected. I knew the connection between him and Burrow was going to be solid. But of course, now that Burrow's out, him with Ryan Finley is going to be tough, so I think probably Tyler Boyd or A.J. Green is probably going to get more throws their way than Higgins, unless Higgins and Finley can figure out a connection early on and, you know, kind of build off something quick, then sure. But I think with Boyd and Green, he's what I would assume would be more comfortable with them, but I mean, it's still early. We'll have to see how it goes. Let me see who else. I know I'm missing, like, a metric shit ton of people, and I hate it. Actually, let me just pull this list up on my phone real fast. Tua's been playing all right. You know, again, he was just going to be the backup for the Dolphins for a bit. And obviously that changed where they started him the last couple of games. But and now, I know he's kind of have, like, a slight injury issue, but with his thumb or whatever, and you know, he's played all right. Denzel Mims is kind of coming into his own a little bit. He's not doing a whole lot, but he's slowly getting more involved. But again, you're with the Jets, so you're going to struggle fucking regardless. I think Darnell Mooney is super underrated. I mean, he hasn't played like crazy good for the Bears, but again, the Bears are just not doing good overall, so I think they're going to struggle regardless of who they have. Let me see who else. There's not really many other people I think that are, I mean, the only person I can see that I feel like is worth talking about real fast is probably Jalen Hurts. I know the Eagles are not very good this year. Carson Wentz has been playing like absolute dog shit. And now I feel like it's at a point where you kind of have to question whether or not he is the future of the team. And we can sit there for hours to say, oh, well, you know, his offensive line is bad. They don't have any weapons. Who are they throwing to? They don't have anybody's hurt. It's like, sure, to an extent, you can say that for anybody. But I think now it's at a point where he's definitely the problem. Even when he gets chances to do something good, he's making bad throws. He just looks lost. Even when, like, they were good, the Eagles, for those couple of years when Nick Foles was also there, even when he was, like, on the field, Carson Wentz wasn't really all that good. I mean, you got to give credit to Nick Foles for leading that team to a Super Bowl. I mean, yes, you can say, sure, Carson Wentz got him there, but, okay, he was also hurt. So, if they had someone else that wasn't Nick Foles, they're not winning the Super Bowl. That's just my opinion. I think Nick Foles was definitely the guy for them to help them get there. And then he did it again once he got hurt again. And Nick Foles was like, all right, I got to do this again. It didn't get into a Super Bowl, but it got close. I know a lot of people are saying they want Jalen Hurts to start now. I mean, you got to see what you have. So, and you're not really making the playoffs. I mean, obviously the chance is there because, again, your division's essentially wide open for literally any one of them to get to the playoffs. But I just think try it, see how he does. Maybe he can kind of bring a new spark to the team, maybe some new energy, and then maybe help them kind of get to a positive point at the end of the season. Whether or not they make the playoffs, just end on a good note, you know what I mean? Something that you can build off of for next year. But I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. You know, it's a tough situation. And I know people in Baltimore are kind of doing the same thing where, oh, is Lamar Jackson really the answer for them? He's not making all the good throws, which to an extent, and I know the bias is coming out again, but I think his situation is different because, sure, to an extent, Lamar Jackson is to blame for why the Ravens are not playing well. But when Lamar Jackson's coming out, and I think I mentioned this last week, where he's saying the defense is calling out our plays before we even play, that's a problem. Obviously, Lamar Jackson's not calling the plays. That's Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator. And whatever the fuck he's doing, it's not working. So I don't know if they need to just kind of go back to what worked last year and build off of that, or get rid of Greg Roman entirely. I don't know. Because whatever they're doing, whatever's going on behind the scenes, like in the scouting reports or in the practice field or, you know, when they're coming up with a game plan, it's just not working. Like, it's not working overall. Do I think John Harbaugh's, like, on the hot seat? Not at all. I think he's fine. It's just Greg Roman and Wink Martindale are kind of looking iffy right now. So, and yes, we need more options at wide receiver. That's always a thing. Tight end, we definitely need another tight end because, one, they lost Nick Bull for the year on an ACL. They traded Hayden Hurst to Atlanta. And now they just have Mark Andrews. So they need to figure out the tight end situation fast. Offensive line is shit. The running backs, I'm sorry, but I think Mark Ingram's time is done. He's just not doing what we thought he was going to do. Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins are the future. And I know people like to discredit Gus Edwards, but my man is a good running back. His rookie year, 2 years ago, Lamar's rookie year, he ran for over 1,000 yards. He's a good running back. He just needs a solid chance. And they do not give it to him because they want to put Mark Ingram in the system. Give it to J.K. Dobbins. I'm telling you, give the ball to Gus and you're going to see success. That's just a fact. I'm such a Gus supporter. He just needs the ball more. And I can guarantee there'll be more success. But that's just me. So I'm going to end it there. I've been rambling for a bit. I'm sorry. So thank all of you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. I apologize for being late. Again, like I said, I'm going to be posting a basketball-focused podcast today, depending on when you're listening to this. And we're just going to talk about free agency, trades, the future of the Lakers and other teams and so on, and go more in-depth about that. And obviously, the NBA draft was recently, so I'll get into that. So also, I'd appreciate it if you rated the podcast on Apple Podcasts as well. Definitely, I want to get, you know, get this out there more and get more people to see it. You know, it's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere podcasts are available. You can listen to Talking a Bunch of Hoopla. Also, I post on TikTok. If you're into TikTok at all, it's just Talking a Bunch of Hoopla on TikTok. I kind of just post like opinion stuff. You know, whether breaking news happens, I just post my opinion. You know, I try to get engaged with the people. You know, talk about sports opinions and things like that in the comments. So definitely follow that or look it up as well. We could talk, chat, chit chat. You know, group chat, whatever the fuck, whatever happens on TikTok. And that's all I have for you today. Again, for the 1,000th time, I thank you, and I will see you all next time. We'll be right back.